Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Daryl.
And I'm Taylor, and this week it's the Fall Fun Drive for Richmond Independent Radio, the station that so graciously airs our program every week. You can donate online at WRIR.org, or if you prefer actual human contact, then operators are standing by to take your calls at 804-622-9747.
That number again is 804-622-9747. Any and all donations are appreciated.
For the past 11 shows, which you can find on iTunes or at podcast.theoffside.com, we've discussed professional soccer. However, the majority of our listeners probably aren't professional players, so it only seemed logical to take some time to discuss the amateur ranks.
Yeah, some of you may play in your own adult soccer league, be that in Richmond or elsewhere. Taylor and myself both play in the Central Virginia Soccer Association here in Richmond.
Yeah, and to get a better understanding of how the CVSA and other soccer leagues work, we welcomed into the studio Kerry Wright, a seven-year CVSA board member, and Mark Tarrant, a CVSA veteran who's played in the league for over 30 years. All right, well, Kerry, Mark, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, we're happy to be here.
All right, so first question, general question, just tell us about the CVSA.
Okay, the CVSA was founded in 1975 by a group of soccer enthusiasts in Richmond. In the first season, there were six teams, made up of Italia, Internationals, the Deutsche Sport Club, the West End or West Hampton team, the Latins, and an English team that no one can remember their name anymore.
So six teams in 1975. How many teams are there now?
We average about 100 teams per season in the fall and spring now, with over 2,000 active registered players every season.
That must take some organizing. So can you tell us a little bit about how the CVSA is set up and how you organize all that?
Sure. CVSA is an all-volunteer run organization. We have 13 board members, of which eight of those are named positions, like my position, which is field maintenance and field acquisition. And in addition to those board members, we have eight at-large board members.
Okay, and we also have Mark with us, who's been a player in the CVSA since almost the beginning. That's right, Mark?
That's right. 1977, when I first got to Richmond.
So that's, doing the maths, 32 years?
32 years, right.
Okay, how many clubs is that?
Probably about six.
All right.
About six clubs.
Any silverware?
Almost. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's in your cabinet?
Jeez. Oh.
Couple of Lions Masters trophies.
I have quite a few. I have beer glasses that state all the wins, and then the CVSA Cup. My name's on that, or the team's names are on that.
That's just to clarify, I've only been in the league for like 3 years, and I've already played for four teams. So the fact that Mark's been here for 32 years and has played for that few teams, I guess says something about his loyalty or maybe my lack thereof. But well done to you.
I think that makes you...
I'd like to think of a mercenary, but
yeah,
probably just a traitor. Probably just a traitor. One thing I'm curious about is the league was started in 1975, and clearly you guys have been around for a good chunk of that time. Have you seen the level dramatically increase since then? I'm wondering what it was like then versus now in terms of people showing up, in terms of, you know, talent.
There have been a ton of changes since 1975.
Yeah.
First and foremost, obviously, the number of teams. Second, the quality of fields that we play on now is unsurpassed in the history of the CVSA. We used to play right next to a cemetery that had no grass. You could hear gunshots while you were playing. You know, it just, the CVSA has come so far in the last 34 years in that respect.
And Brian Park is a big part of that.
Brian Park is a big part of that.
Can you explain to listeners exactly what Brian Park is?
I'd be happy to. Brian Park is a 200-acre park on the north side of Richmond that had fallen into a state of disrepair back in the mid-90s. And two CVSA players and board members, Bruce Williams and Jay Paul, had the initiative to go out and contact some city leaders who were at that time being asked to build a golf course in the park and literally destroy the whole park. And Bruce and Jay had the foresight to know that youth soccer was about to explode and the CVSA needed a home, and they put together a plan which included basically no public monies but public support with the land, got a coalition together, and in a matter of 18 months put together a plan, broke ground, and built five of the best Bermuda grass soccer fields in the city of Richmond at that time and still.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mark about that, just your impressions of the fields at Bryant Park.
The fields at Bryant Park are fantastic. When we have people into town, they're just amazed at how well they're kept up. They compare those with the ones that they're playing on now, and they go, oh my gosh, I wish, you know, we had something like this to play on. The difference between what we used to play on and this is just day and night. I mean, mostly it was mud, few little scatterings of, you know, grass, you know, lots of rocks. But, I mean, sliding was, you had to think before you're going to make a sliding tackle, that's for sure.
Yeah, Dara, actually, how would you, coming over from England, how would you rate the fields?
Actually, the big difference for me was the fact that you had, like, a complex like Bryant Park where all the teams play at the same time. Because back home, you have, like, each team has, like, a home field, that they like a piece of grass that they have for themselves. And it's normally not very pretty. It's not very flat, and it's not very grassy. And it was also a gamble. Every week you turn up, you don't know what the team you're playing against, what their field is going to be like. So I love playing at Bryant Park because every week that you're going to get grass.
And Daryl, back in the 70s and early 80s, that is the way CVSA was run as well. When we had 6 and 12 teams, every team had their own home pitch.
Right.
One of the most interesting fields that we had was at the end of the runway at what was then called Bird Airport. And it was actually a very nice field. We held state cup games there and things like that.
So you had planes going overhead?
Or? Absolutely. I mean, it was within 200 yards of the end of the runway.
But could you bank a shot off?
There you go, off the wingtip. You know, now, in addition to Bryant Park, with the youth clubs that have built complexes, we have a repertoire of fields that any adult soccer league in the United States would be proud of. Mark and I have both traveled all over the East Coast, Mark even to as far as Bellingham, Washington, to play in tournaments. There are bigger, better complexes, but they're all managed by municipalities, where this is managed basically by volunteers on a shoestring budget. And if you go out there on a Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, there's about 2,000 people out there watching and playing youth soccer. And it's an incredible sight. And thinking that basically for $300,000 and a lot of sweat and toil and patience, Bruce and Jay and the people that have come after them got us some great pitches to play on.
So besides the CVSA, is Bryant Park used for any other tournaments or anything like that?
Yeah, CVSA is part of the Metro DC Virginia Soccer Association, known as MDCVSA. And every year for the past 4 years has hosted the MDCVSA State Cup tournaments at Bryant Park. For the past 4 years, we've held an open cup, just known as the State Cup, and that's open to any team. We have hosted the Veterans Cup, and that's open to teams 40 and over. We have been trying to drum up an interest with the Women's State Cup. We've put out flyers for that for 2 years and have only gotten 2 teams at the most registered for that. So
they both made the final.
Right.
Positive way to look at it. Well done.
Co-ed has been growing, especially in the other tournaments around the state. So we are definitely looking at expanding the tournament play in Richmond. There are very few adult tournaments in Richmond. So the CVSA would like to be a part of organizing some new tournaments. We think Richmond's a great place to do that. We're centrally located in the state and the town's got a lot to offer.
And in terms of keeping those pitches nice, are you the guy that makes the decision whether the game's rained off on a Sunday? You the guy we blame when we get up and there's no game?
That would be me. And it's not a perfect science, but it's, you know, we're going to play if we can play and not wrecked the fields. And a lot of that is based on what time of year it is. Obviously, we build rain out dates into our schedule. So you don't want to go out and tear up the fields in the first week of September when you know you have a rain out date in November.
Okay.
For instance, this last weekend, we played at Bryan Park and basically nowhere else. And that decision was made because we really got very little rain on Saturday, and the wind was up. And on Sunday morning, the fields were very firm, even though it was wet and 37 degrees. Mm-hmm. You know, my 3 o'clock game, I showed up and I fully expected there to be a lot more damage, quote unquote, to the fields than there was. They were fine. And through overseeding with rye in the fall and Mother Nature giving us plenty of rain and sunshine, you know, those fields are playable for the 9 months of the year that we use them.
Now, how often is your decision to play dictated by your activities the night before?
Never. Never. Nor who my opponent is that Sunday. That would not be fair to the other 87 teams playing that day.
So I want to ask you one tough question. We should ask you about the referees in the CBSA.
All right, I'm going to give a plug to the referees and the referee assigner. Our referees in general are assigned by a referee assigner. In the CVSA's case, it's the Old Dominion Soccer Referee Service, I believe. Dave Hitchak is our assigner. He assigns refs to the 44 games we have every Sunday. Not only assign the best refs he can get, but referees that are qualified to ref at that level. You don't want to put your worst grade 8 referee on a series of premier matches. The referees are assigned. Referees themselves are independent contractors. Dave will send out a offer to work, you know, and say, who wants to work these weekends? Our assigner does a great job of pulling referees from all over the state of Virginia. This past weekend, we had referees come from Lynchburg, Virginia Beach, Williamsburg, and Northern Virginia.
So there's a whole operation behind the scenes going on to make sure there's enough referees to make the CVSA happen, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that CVSA has been trying to do and actively has a program in place, and that's get high school kids or young adults interested in refereeing. We offer to pay their certification fees to go to class, okay? We offer to juggle their schedule if they want to play in CVSA games. So if they have a 9 o'clock CVSA game, they can go ref a 1 and 3 o'clock CVSA game.
Oh, so if you disagree with your referee, you can...
You might see him on the pitch at another time. A lot of players in the CVSA that referee, and we need more.
Now, you talked about how people can become referees. If people who are listening are curious as to how you can join the CVSA or get on a team, what info do you have for them?
Great question, Taylor. They can go to the CVSA website, which is www.cvsasoccer.org. If they want to join the CVSA, they can click on the link for player registration. Mm-hmm. Generally, our registration is held a month before the season starts, the team registration. A player at any time can put their name on the available player's webpage, mm-hmm. and we will post it and help them to find a team. We're always looking for more players and more referees and more women's teams and, you know, to continue the growth. We're also looking for more quality fields to play on.
Yeah.
So we're going to do one of our top fives later. Tyler and myself are going to list our top five favorite things about playing adult soccer. We'd like to get your favorite thing. Mark, can we start with you first?
Well, I'd like to say that it's the great exercise that you get, but it's really the beer afterwards and the cigars and the camaraderie as well.
All right. Cigars only for a victory.
No. Cigars always.
Win or lose.
Yeah, no matter.
And Kerry, how about you?
I think my number one favorite thing about the CVSA is, and playing on Sundays or any night, is meeting new people that have a similar interest. I can count 200 people that, obviously, they're not close friends, but you know, we all speak and say hi, and you know, those are 200 people I didn't know before I was playing in the CVSA, and it's probably more like 500 people.
Hey,
Taylor's Dan. One of them.
That's how we met.
That's actually how I met Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, staying in shape is obviously at my young age of 49 something that I value. So it gives me that opportunity. You know, getting together with the same 20, 22 lads that I play with, especially like Mark said, after the game, if we're going to go and have a pint somewhere, not at Bryan Park because there's no drinking at the pitches anymore.
I've received that email.
Right, exactly.
But I just wanted to say thank you both so much for coming in, all the great information, and, you know, we appreciate all the work, appreciate you staying with only six teams. Well done.
Thank you,
Hey,
Taylor.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl
and Taylor
on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3.
It's our fall fun drive this week, so keep soccer on the air by making a donation to the station. You can donate online at WRAR.org.
Or operators are standing by to take your call at 804-622-9747.
Any and all donations are appreciated.
You just heard our guests, Kerry and Mark, share their favourite thing about playing in the CVSA. Now Taylor and myself are going to do our top five. This week, top five favorite things about playing adult soccer.
All right. So my number five, Kerry kind of touched on it, but it's, you know, the ability to get to know people. I went to school in Kentucky. When I came back here, I knew like two or three people. And just from playing in the CVSA, I definitely got to meet a whole lot of different people that I would consider good friends now. You know, I got the radio show because I played soccer with you. I met you. I actually met my girlfriend because I played soccer against her brother.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It, you know, so it works in your favor. At least it did in my case.
Not so much Margaret.
Thanks for that.
All right, my number five isn't quite as romantic. it's when you're playing against a team and the other team has a goalie who's not really a goalie.
Oh, the jersey switch?
Or more just that maybe you know from the start their regular keeper is away on business.
Oh, I gotcha.
And so they've just had to persuade one of their poor guys who doesn't want to do it, and he's gone in goal. Mm. And you know if you get a good shot at that guy, there's a good chance it's going in.
Yeah, see, my favorite aspect of that is when they circle up before the game. That's what I mean when I say jersey switch, is they circle up, and you can just see them all like, I don't want it. And eventually one unfortunate guy is like, all right, I'll take it. And then he puts the jersey on, and you know it's going to be a good day.
You can see him all sad when he straps the Velcro on the gloves. Yeah.
All right, well, my number four is even less romantic. It's alcohol. Obviously, at CVSA, you're not supposed to drink at the fields, but you can, you know, go out after a game with your teammates. But, you know, in Richmond, we have indoor facilities like Rise on the south side and Score in the city where you can, you know, socialize with alcohol, without alcohol, before, during, after the game. But it kind of makes it a relaxed setting. But you can also go and watch your friends play, and it's not so much sitting out in the hot humidity and stuff like that. So it's definitely a nice environment.
Yeah, I like to play a game and then maybe have a beer with the team and watch the next game. You can check out your opposition maybe for next week that way.
Mm-hmm, if you want to put it like that.
All right, so my number four is players who take it far too seriously. All right, so you and I think when we play, we take it seriously. We want to win and we're committed. But there are guys who I think they think they're in Serie A or La Liga, and they get into like shouting at the referee and really losing their temper. And the worst thing for me is when you say you're marking a player and he's talking at you through the game, like insulting you, saying things about your family who he's never met.
My favorite is when the coaches, they have like the teams that have coaches, and he shows up like full kit with the full uniform. Or even I've played on teams where the guy shows up in a suit to coach, and it's like, really? Like,
nice, keeping it classy.
What do you really? This is how you're gonna? This is how seriously you're gonna take it? It kind of blows my mind.
It's good in a way because it feels serious, but it's also in hindsight kind of funny.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, my number three is the language lessons that you can pick up. You know, in CVSA alone, just to list a few, you have, you know, Bosnians playing, Croatians, Ghanaians, Nigerians, Italians. You have so many different nationalities. And
English.
You're going to hear, and English, obviously. So you're going to hear it on the field. I have one memory of we were playing a Bosnian team, and they were all had a corner kick, and they were all, you know, yelling at each other in Bosnian. I just remember thinking, like, yeah, we're totally going to be able to defend this. It's really going to work well.
Yeah, I always admire those teams. It's like a secret weapon they've got. They can shout out their plans. It's like in a special code. It's fantastic.
Right, so that's where you play, so you can learn the lesson and then decipher the code.
Okay, so you need to learn the Bosnian for far post.
Something like that.
Okay, my number three is it's specific to the CVSA, and it's the fact that every Sunday when you show up, there's a referee and there's two linesmen.
Yeah.
Every time, guaranteed. So I've played in leagues in England where you only get a referee. Mm-hmm. You don't get linesmen.
Right.
So it's like a sub from each team gets a flag. The referee brings two extra flags.
Yeah.
And they run the line and they're inevitably biased.
Yeah.
And that's a good day because some days the referee, I've been to games where the referee didn't show up. You've got 22 or more guys who want to play football. The referee's not there, so they just decide that one of the players will ref. Mm-hmm. And it always ends in arguments.
Yeah, I imagine it would.
I want to say thank you to the CVSA referees.
Fair enough. My number two hits back on, I think, your number four, and it's the over-celebration of goals. I love it. You know, on a Sunday, you see, like, the 50-year-old guy playing the fifth division who scores the fifth goal for his team, and he sprints back to midfield as though, you know, it's, like, the greatest goal ever scored. He rips off his shirt. He's screaming the whole way, and it's just like, you know, I like the passion, but maybe you're taking it a little bit too seriously.
Yeah, like you're at Wembley or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit much, you know.
Well, I wish I had cause to celebrate goals so regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you shoot near the vicinity of the goal once or twice before. I mean, that's coming from me. I do the same thing, so don't worry about it.
All right, let's move on. My number two is the relief you feel when all your players show up at the last minute.
I know that feeling well. Yeah. I'm feeling well.
Because say there's an 11 o'clock game, mm-hmm. It's not rare for it to be 10 to 11 and you've only got six players at the field.
Yeah.
And you need seven to start and 11 to compete.
Yeah.
And then you'll be panicking, checking your watch, making phone calls and no one's answering the phone.
Yeah.
But then all those players will show up like just a few minutes before kickoff and you're ready to go.
Even worse than the 11 o'clock kickoff is the 9 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday, because like you'll have seen the guys out Saturday night late and you just see them. You're just like, there's no way this guy is waking up for the game tomorrow morning. We're going to be in trouble. And sure enough, you have those six guys. So when everyone shows up, it's definitely a blessed feeling for sure. All right, well, my number one is basically just what having the CVSA here says about the city, in this case, Richmond, I guess. Basically, you have over 2,000 registered active players. You have over 8,000 registered players. You know, you have local businesses and local restaurants, things like that. You know, sponsoring teams, you see their names on the jerseys. And the fact that you and I even have a radio show, you know, it says something about how popular the sport is in Richmond. I read a study recently that, you know, said Richmond was one of the worst sports cities in the country. And yet you have all this evidence that, you know, soccer is a prevalent sport in the city, and it definitely makes me happy that there's that kind of support behind it.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Richmond being a bad sports city was maybe the way the baseball team was treated and the fact we haven't got a football team. Mm-hmm. But then that makes me think that Richmond is a soccer city because we've got the Richmond Kickers, we've got a professional soccer team, mm-hmm. we've got the very lively CVSA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe we should change the city slogan.
I don't even know what the city slogan is, but I'm down.
It should be Soccer City.
That may be a bit cheesy and previously taken by like 8,000 other cities, but we can work on that. That can be a later top five.
Yeah, we're coming for you, St. Louis.
There you go.
All right. My number one is, it's very specific to, I think, adult soccer in America, as opposed to in England. And it's the fact that we have rolling subs here, rolling substitutions, where players can come on and off multiple times, which I think is a very smart thing to do in a non-professional league where really everyone just wants to play.
Yeah.
So like, back home, it's still just the three substitute rule. So guys can show up and they just get subbed on for the last 5 minutes out of sympathy.
And then what's the incentive of showing up?
Exactly, So I love the rolling substitutes rule, and I think people shouldn't take it for granted.
Yeah, especially when you're playing in the Richmond, like Richmond summer, it's like 90 degrees outside and
you're
not in the best shape maybe. It's definitely a lovely thing. But if you have your own top five reasons why you like playing adult soccer, then feel free to send it to us at soccer@wrar.org.
Or leave a comment on our website at podcast.theoffside.com.
Well, that about wraps it up for us here at the Total Football Soccer Show. Hopefully, we've motivated you to get out and join a soccer league in Richmond or wherever you may be.
And maybe we've even motivated you to make a donation to the Fall Fund Drive here at Richmond Independent Radio. Whether you're listening in Richmond or on the podcast, operators are standing by to take your call at 804-622-9747.
Or you can go online and donate at wrar.org. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.